In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You guys hear me? All right. Woo! Worship's good. Well, welcome to the church at Whistling Pines again. My name is Sean McCracken, lead pastor. Just getting all my stuff together, getting my mask off. All right. Getting all situated here. Good, good, good. Okay. We are in our second week of our vision series, Life Groups. It's how we do church. And last week, we talked about two trumpets, and specifically about having the importance of having a clear trumpet call, and the importance for our church to have a distinct, clear message, and the importance of for our church, we have a mission, which we're going to get to in just a second. And within that mission, we want to make sure that we blow a trumpet. And we looked at Numbers chapter 10, verses 1 through 2 last week. And God told Moses to fabricate or to make two silver trumpets, and with those trumpets to call the assembly together, to assemble together, and to call the assembly to go out. And we talked about the importance of coming together to assemble on Sunday mornings and to go out in life groups, as well as to go out into our communities as well. But I used those two trumpets as pictures of coming together as a larger group, like we do in worship services on Sunday morning, and then in smaller groups as we go out into our communities. And as we come together in life groups in our communities, we can do that to fellowship with one another and to do Bible studies and to enter into one another's lives, as well as to be missional communities as we go out into our communities and reach other people. And so this morning, I want to talk about three-dimensional and how as life groups we can be three-dimensional. And so I want to start with, again, our mission statement, our mission verse. And last week I talked about the difference between a mission or a mission statement and a vision or a vision statement. And so I wanted to reiterate that again this morning, just so that we're very clear, whether you are an organization, whether it's secular or religious, whether you're a church or a business, that this is very important that we understand the difference between the two, that this is our mission. A mission asks the question, why? And this is our why. Why do we exist? This is why we exist. Ultimately, every church exists. Our why can be answered in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go into all the world, make disciples of every nation, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all of my commandments, and lo, I am with you always until the ends of the earth. That is the why for every Christian, bar none. So every church, that could be our mission statement, that should be our mission statement, that should be the mission statement of every church. And so that is certainly our mission statement. But then within that, what is our clear, distinct trumpet call for this church, for this distinct part of the body of Christ, for Umatilla, Florida, Church at Whistling Pines? It is this, and it's found in Psalm 68:6. God gives lonely people a family. He sets prisoners free, and they go out singing. Last week, we talked about many churches have as their vision statement, they call it a vision statement, it's really a mission statement or whatever, and we're going to talk about a vision statement, what's different between mission and vision in just a second, but loving God, loving people, and I'm not picking on any church because that's ours as well, but It's nice, it's distinct, it's very clear, it's short, it's easy to remember. It's much easier to remember than this. This isn't the longest thing in the world, by the way, but it's still much longer than loving God, loving people. But loving God, loving people, we're all called to that as well. But we're called specifically to this, that we're called to lonely people that need family, that need freedom, and that need to go out with freedom, with singing and rejoicing and worship. That's what we're called to, are those distinct things. So within this, that's our mission that answers why. Why do we exist? This. That's mission. Vision, what makes it different from a mission statement or mission, vision or a vision statement answers the questions what or why, how. So mission is why, vision is what or how. What do we do to get to our mission, or how do we get to our mission? That's vision. So when we have a vision, it's why do we exist? Let's get a vision to reach our mission. And so then we develop mission statements, vision statements and vision vehicles to get to our vision, to get to our mission, to get to why we exist. We exist to do these things in our locale, in our world. This is why we exist. Now, let's develop vision to get to why we exist. The how and the what. The how and the what isn't just this, but a number one for this church, one of the number one things to get to the reason why we exist as a church is life groups. That's the number one vehicle for us as a church to get to why we exist is a life group, is to gather in smaller groups to do just as God told Moses to have two trumpets, to gather together on a Sunday morning. We can't accomplish this on a Sunday morning. We can have forward vision together. We can have the rah, rah, rah. We can get charged up. We can get fueled up. We can have the right doctrine. We can be all juiced up and love on each other and all that kind of stuff, but we cannot obtain this without getting together in smaller groups. We cannot do the love one another's that we talked about last week without getting into smaller groups. And we just happen to call them life groups. So we need to do this in life groups. We believe that we can set, that God can set us free by ourselves in our prayer closets, in our cars, in our showers. God can set us free anywhere. We believe that God can set us free in Sunday morning service. But God usually uses one another to set one another free. And of course, he can do that on Sunday morning. But more often than not, he does that in relationship. And you can most especially have relationship in smaller settings, smaller groups, where you can really enter into relationship with one another. And that's where life groups come in. So my question to you is, can you see three dimensions in this verse? If not, you need to put on 3D glasses. Did you bring your 3D glasses this morning? No? This is a three-dimensional message. I asked you to bring 3D glasses. Nobody brought 3D glasses. That's okay, because I'm praying that we all have spiritual glasses on this morning. Do you have your 3D specs? Your spiritual specs on this morning. I want us to see this verse, our mission, in a three-dimensional way. Because we're not two-dimensional. We're not a movie. We're not a TV show. We're not a book that's just two-dimensional. We're not just a story. We're three-dimensional. We're people. The three dimensions here are God, family, and going out. These are the important aspects of our mission. This is the important aspects of not just our why, but the important aspects of our what and our how. Not just the important aspects of our mission, but the important aspects of fulfilling our mission, the important aspects of our vision. And so the first dimension is God. Have you ever heard of Maslow's hierarchy of, of needs? Have you ever heard of that before? Well, this is going to be something similar to that. People have three fundamental needs, similar to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. The first is transcendence, the need to connect with the Creator. Everyone needs to connect with God. Everyone needs to. And primarily now we're talking about life groups. So we're talking about people who are connecting with our groups, our individuals. By the way, not everyone is Christian who will connect with our groups. But everyone who connects with our groups have some sort of a need, have some sort of a, they're drawn to what we have. They're drawn to, you're different. You react to the needs, you react to the situations that you're going through, the loss in your life, you react differently than the world. You have a hope that's different than my friends. You have a hope that's different than my family. And I'm drawn to that, and I want to know more. Or the life group is people that are sitting next to you on a Sunday morning, or used to sit next to you on a Sunday morning, or now going to another church, whatever the case might be. Everyone has this fundamental need to connect with their Creator. I'm talking about really connect with their Creator. I mean connect. Not just know a little bit more about them. Not even just go a little bit deeper in a subject matter that you couldn't go deeper than on Sunday morning, although that's part of it. But I mean really connect. That's why it's really, really important. Life group leaders, life group attenders, but especially life group leaders, that if you don't completely feel like you know enough or you feel a little bit challenged that week, don't sidestep this. Don't just give in to, well, let's just fellowship. I'm not saying you have to teach a theology course, but don't just sidestep the issue and just eat. Bring God into this because people need transcendence. They need to go beyond themselves. There's a need. Otherwise, they could join the Y. They could join the Elks Club. They could join a movie club. They're coming to you. They're coming to join your life group. They're coming to join your fellowship for a reason. Don't just fellowship. Please hear me. Hear my heart. This is so important. Make sure your conversation is seasoned with grace. Do you hear me? This is part of the first dimension. The first dimension has to be about God. This includes Bible study. Now, there's going to be some life groups that are more about Bible study than other life groups. Kathy Bronson's life group is really about Bible study. Not every life group is going to be as in-depth as hers. Hers is about precepts. Hers is probably going to be the most in tuned with Bible study of all of our life groups. The life group I'm a part of, the life group that I lead, is about Bible study because I'm a teacher and I'm drawn to that. But ours is more discussion, and we talk through the scripture as I also teach and we discuss it and stuff, so it's not quite as in-depth as hers. But and then there's others that may be a little even more discussion, and then there's, you know, different depths to all of them. So not all of them are going to be strict Bible study, but, you know, crack open a Bible. That's good. You just talk about one verse. It doesn't have to, you don't have to talk about everything in the Bible. But let Bible study be a part of it. Prayer. Transcendence is about talking to God. So talk to God. contemplating and discussing the things of God. This is all the first dimension. He sets us free. Remember, in the mission is God sets us free and they go out singing. If God isn't a part of it, there is no freedom. There's just a bunch of relationship. It's not one another sets each other free. God sets us free. We can complain to one another. We can comfort one another. But you can still leave bound. You can feel better about yourself, but you'll wake up bound without God. It's important. We can otherwise just be a social club with God in our name. And one day we come before the throne of God, and I went to church every day of my life, and it doesn't matter. We were just a glorified Christian social club. The second dimension is family. We enter into family. We're lonely people who enter into family. The second need of people is first transcendence. We need to connect with our Creator. Connect in a vital way, but we also need to connect with community. The need to connect with others through deeply satisfying relationships. Even the loners among us need community. We were created for that. Maybe some more than others, I get it. Some really feed off of that. Your batteries or your tank gets filled from that. And I understand some people then need a break and you get refilled by being alone. I understand that. But even those of us who need to be alone, you still need to be with people. You still need relationships. You still need community. We cannot go at it alone. Christianity is a team sport. We need one another. We cannot do it alone. Now, you can have a relationship with God alone, no doubt. But beware you stand, lest you fall. And in this world, it's almost impossible to live for God alone. We need one another. We were created by God to be in the church. Not saying a building, hear me. We were created to be in the church, a people, a community. And that's where life groups come in. Community, His people, through satisfying relationships, a community. It's a need. Whether you feel that need or not, it's there. So we need to connect with God, and we need to connect with a community of people. That's time spent with the body of Christ. So when we say family, it's not your biological family or your nuclear family, although that might be included. It's your body, it's the body of Christ. It's entering into one another's lives. And that takes permission. What do I mean by that? You get permission by asking, but you also get permission by time. Time invested. Time invested is permission. Time invested by putting in that time, putting in that effort. You need it and they need it. It's intentional discipleship. Discipleship doesn't happen on its own. It's not just organic from the standpoint of it just naturally just happens. You're all of a sudden, wow, I've just become a disciple. You've got to intentionally allow yourself to be discipled, and you've got to intentionally disciple others. It's a decision that has to be made, and you have to place yourself in the position. And that takes time. That takes energy. But it's glorious, and it's so fulfilling. And that only happens in relationship. That only happens in community. It doesn't happen outside of that. It doesn't. The problem, though, there is a problem with this. The problem of community, most of the time, is that it tends to be exclusive of people outside of the community. There tends to be a clique that forms. Have you ever experienced this? Have you ever tried to either get in the clique or just suddenly you're in it and you look around and you're like, wow, I'm in a clique. Either you suddenly don't like your clique or you realize somebody's trying to get in and you realize how you're a part of how you're treating somebody that's trying to get in. So we have to beware of that. And that brings up the third dimension. And I feel like Rod Sager now, or I think that's his name, from Twilight Zone. I'm bringing up the third dimension. Third dimension, go out. Now you're like, oh great. Now he's going to step on my toes. I was comfortable with the first two. Yeah, I'm all about God and I'm all about people. I love loving on people, but you know, I'm not an evangelist. That's just not my call. It's not mine either. But Paul told Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. Can I tell you that Timothy, from all intents and purposes, from what I can discern from reading 1 and 2 Timothy and seeing Timothy go on the journeys with Paul, that Timothy seems to have been a pastor. A teacher pastor, so I relate to him. It seems to me that when he said, do the work of an evangelist, that he was saying, do you, but do the work of an evangelist. In other words, use your gifts and evangelize. Do your gifts, be you, and evangelize. So it wasn't be an evangelist or suddenly transform into something you weren't or not, but as you're being you, as you're using the gifts that I've called you to do, evangelize with that. Just go about being you. Go out. The third of people's fundamental needs. First, transcendence. We need to connect with God. Second, community. We need to connect with one another. Is significance. We need to have a purpose in life. And do something meaningful. I mean meaningful. Not just be busy. Not just busy work. Do you remember in school when there would be a substitute teacher? Sometimes it was awesome because they'd just play movies. And I'm, believe it or not, I'm actually old enough where there was projectors to show the movies. I know that probably freaks you out. That I'm actually that old to remember that it was projectors. But anyway. But then there were some substitutes that would actually give you busy work. Those were the worst substitutes. Like, dude, you're a sub. Subs are supposed to be awesome. Some subs come in just to give you busy work. And you knew it was busy work because the guy didn't know what he was doing. But he just wanted you to be busy so you wouldn't misbehave. He was actually probably the best substitute, but the student didn't think so. Anyway, this isn't busy work. This isn't just, you know, spinning your wheels. This is so that it's meaningful. It's things that you're good at. This is things that you're strong at. This is things that you're gifted at. This is so that you would be significant. We all have that desire. Who wants to be good at something? Raise your hand. Jeff doesn't want to be good at something. Jeff, I think you're great at some things. Not everything. Jeff, are you awake? Yo, Dad. He's my father-in-law. I can talk to him like that. You hear me. I know you do. Don't ignore me. It's like when you come over. You ignore me. Anyway, we all want significance. We're made that way. We are made to have significance. And we're made to reach other people. We are. Again, I take us to Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. That's all of us. That's all of us. And some of us that are really geared towards that, we're like, yeah. And some of us were like, oh man, that's just not me. Again, be you while you're doing it. Don't be afraid that you're being called to be something you're not. You just have to be intentional to do that while you're being you. It's time spent with those who don't know Jesus yet. That's the brass tacks of it. It's time spent with those who don't know Jesus yet. It's intentionally reaching out. There's that intentional word again. And that just takes even a moment's thought. Let me be intentional to talk to the bagger. Just a moment. Hey, bro, how you doing? I say bro because I'm trying to still be cool. I don't know if bro is still cool or not, but I think bro will always be cool. Anyway, you know, hey, bro, how you doing? Just being intentional just for a moment. You know, I'm not dropping Isaiah scripture on him or anything in that split second. I mean, that might come, but at first it's just, how are you doing? It's just being intentional just for that moment. Now, I'm not saying I do it all the time. I'm not saying I'm perfect or even that I do it as much as I should or could or would or any of that, but it's just being intentional for that moment. Quick story. Several years ago, I have a Super Bowl party at my house, and I'm encouraging people to my family, and I want to say it's been several years ago. I invited some people from the church, and I really encouraged them, invite people that you know for sure don't know Jesus to come over. And that's kind of like their way to get in. You've got to bring some food, because that's always important. Food I like, that's important as well. And somebody that doesn't know Jesus. And that's kind of the idea. It doesn't matter what team you like or anything like that, because that's, we're going for the commercials anyway. And we're going to watch the Super Bowl party, but bring somebody. And I remember that night, the only new person was my next door neighbor. And I was really excited. So we live next door to a woman who's around my age, give or take, and her mother. Her mother didn't come, but she came. And everybody else, for the most part, I mean, only God knows for sure, but I think we're Christian. And my family, which most of them aren't. Just kidding. And so, that's a joke. And so, we're like all, you know, eating and, you know, double dipping and watching the game and stuff like that. And my neighbor is sitting on the couch. And I remember I'm like floating around, making sure everybody has things and stuff, trying to be a good host. And I remember going over to Andrea, my next door neighbor, a lot and just seeing if she has everything she needs. And I remember she was just really uncomfortable. She didn't know anybody. And I remember that there was, I'm just being honest, nobody was really talking to her. Yeah. And so I'd go over to her and I remember her, I'd say, hey, do you want anything to drink? And I'd say, there's, you know, soda and water and this and there's that. And she said, do you have any beer? And I'd say, I really don't. If I had any, I'd sure give it to you. And at that moment, I'm like, dang it. I wish I would have bought beer. I mean, seriously, just to make her feel more comfortable. Oh, I wish I would have brought beer. No, I don't have any. I'm so sorry. And she said, is it okay if I smoke? Nobody's ever smoked in my house. You can smoke on the porch. I'm sorry. Nobody's smoked in the house and Miranda would have a fit. I actually don't care, but she would. Miranda's in the kids' room. That's why I'm saying that. But it is the truth, though. And she knows it, right? Okay, anyway. Anyway, and it was just so awkward. Well, after a little while, it was just really tense and stuff. And then she gets up, and I guess to go smoke or whatever, but she never came back. And I'm like, it just ruined the game, and my team I was going for didn't win. And it was just like, It was horrible. The point of this was reaching out to people. We've got to be intentional. It's going to be messy. We're going to be dealing with things that we're not used to. We've got to kind of look ahead. We're going to be, dealing with maybe like alcoholic beverages. We're going to have to be looking ahead and thinking, you know, if they're going to be invited into our home, you know, are we going to allow them to smoke? You know, all of these kinds of things, we've got to think ahead because people are messy. And I'm not just saying she's messy. I'm messy. You're messy. People are messy. And so the third dimension is going out. As a group, like as a whole, whether that's a life group coming together and then like going, I mean, I realize now that the because of the COVID, you know, like the street fest in Eustis and stuff is closed, but at one time when it was open, you know, maybe as a group deciding to go out and have fun and then, you know, just mingle with people maybe as a group or individually or like, for instance, a group having a Super Bowl party and then inviting all of our contacts like as a group or individually or having like a block party at one of the people's houses and then, you know, another month have a block party at another person's house and like everybody in the life group helping out or whatever the case might be, but you're not alone. You have your life group to assist you. You know, those kind of things, just thinking and realizing that you're doing this as a life group. You're doing this in community. You don't have to do this alone. Or individually, and your life group is praying for you. And each time you guys meet, you're saying, so how is Sally? I've been praying for you and Sally. How did the conversation go at work? And then you talk about it, and how about you try this? I had somebody very similar to Sally, and this is what I said. You know, those kind of things, that these dimensions are a part of life groups, and this helps us also to where we're not exclusive, and we're not becoming a clique, and we're not just saying us four and no more. That these three dimensions we desire, this is our vision, not only that life groups are a part of how and what we do to accomplish our mission, but within the how and the what of life groups, we desire to see these three dimensions functioning within life groups, and that these three dimensions make life groups healthy. And we believe that the Holy Spirit can work within these life groups and make the members of these life groups healthy and flourish and be spirit-filled. It's not about adding one more thing to our schedules. It's important that we understand that with this dimension of going out. So it's not just every life group meets together. For instance, mine, we meet the second and fourth Wednesday night of every month. Some life groups meet every Wednesday or every week, whatever night of the week it meets, or once a month, or whatever the frequency is. So it's not then saying, okay, now every life group then has to meet another time to do some sort of an outreach. It's not adding one more thing. It's as you're already living life, as you're already doing something, be intentional. That's the whole idea. And then even outside of life group, when it comes to evangelism, just as a side note, let's have that heart. As you're already doing what you're already doing, as you're going to the grocery store, as we're working in the factory, as you're working in the hospital, as you're working as a teacher, as we're doing our things, as we're going and getting coffee in 7-Eleven, whatever we're doing, realize there's people around us and say, Holy Spirit, help me to hear your voice. Help my eyes to be open. Help me to have on three-dimensional spirit lenses and see what you're doing. And maybe you go into 7-Eleven and nothing happens. It's okay. Or maybe God has us to talk to somebody. And maybe it's just real cordial and you're able to uplift that person. That's great. Or maybe the next time you're able to pray with somebody. That's great. Or maybe the next time, somebody passes out and you raise them from the dead. I don't know. The thing is God knows. A life group is a family that lives out the mission of God together. That's what a life group is and should be. We're living out the mission of God together. And so we're doing this as a community. And we're doing it in three dimensions. We're doing it as we connect with God, as we're connecting together as a community, and as we're connecting with others. So, Lynn is going to go around with a microphone, as we did last week, and I want to ask you two questions. Two questions. And I want your answers. Your answers. You ready? First question. Can you think of ways that Jesus walked out all three dimensions, time spent with God, time spent with family or other believers, disciples, and time spent with others, the three dimensions when he was in flesh? I see a hand. She's running.
Well, he went off by himself to solitary places to pray lots of times. With family, I'm thinking he prayed for Peter's mother. That was like family to him.
That's good, yeah.
And then the third one, when he asked Zacchaeus, he said, "Today I must stay in your house," you know.
Great. Okay. That's awesome. Good, good. Anyone else? Very good. Good answer.
I'm a pastor's granddaughter on both sides.
There you go. That's good. Mary has something to add. Getting exercise.
The thing that I find is don't be led by fear. Just do it.
Yeah. Good. Don't be led by fear. Just do it. Sounds like a Nike commercial, but it's good.
Do it afraid.
Do it afraid. Yeah. Okay. She one-upped you. Amen. Good. Good.
Jesus' whole model was about this. I mean, mm-hmm. He had the disciples, the 12, but then he had beyond that 70 people that he was interacting with and relating to that was his church congregation. But then he would go into all kinds of people's homes. Ruth mentioned a few, Peter's mother-in-law and Zacchaeus, but then there was Matthew, who he had a big party, and then there was some other place that he went that he was dining and wining and dining with people and was accused of being fellowship with sinners. You know, yep. So he would just go into all kinds of people's homes and relate to them where they are and who they were, not try to get them to come join his 70, because he had his 70, but he was constantly going to where other people were. And I think that's the thing. We've got to go where they are, not continually trying to get them to come even to our life group.
That's right.
Because that's one thing that's easier enough to do, invite people come to my house, but how do you get into where they are? Go to where they live, where they work.
That's good. Good word, yeah. Excellent.
I was thinking about when he was in the garden praying. Then I was thinking about he met with the disciples, and then I was thinking about him being on the cross meeting with us all.
Wow, yeah. It's good.
Can I drop the mic?
Yeah, that's great. Good, good. Okay, next question. What are some examples of ways you personally have experienced or that we can now, presently, or in the future can experience these three dimensions in life groups? Sure. What are ways that you have personally experienced or ways that we can experience these three dimensions in life groups?
I have one.
Okay.
So I don't know if you remember the scavenger hunt.
Yep.
Who doesn't totally. Forget that? So a scavenger hunt is, I'll come up here so nobody has to turn around.
Do you want to explain the scavenger hunt real quick?
Yeah, so a scavenger hunt is basically you're asking the Holy Spirit to send you out to do his word. So you ask for a word from the Lord, and then you go out and you seek that out. And so my first scavenger hunt, I was praying, so it was me and God, and God gave me a couple of words and visions of a black woman with two children who needed shoes. And so then as a group, a small group of us got together and we drove out to the mall to Payless. And so that was going out. And we actually went to Payless and there was a black woman there with two children. And I got a little confused and off track because there was already somebody there paying for her shoes. And I'm like, excuse me, I'm supposed to pay for her shoes. I didn't see you in my vision. But I feel like that's an example because it was me and God, and then it was me and the small group of people, and then we went out
that's good.
To do what God said to do.
Yeah, great example. Anyone else?
You know, in my life, I've seen both sides of the track. I think we all have, to one degree or another. And I think it's very important that when we start reaching out to our neighbors, reaching out to people we really don't know, to not overwhelm them when we have them at our house. Example yeah. being, you know, find a time, find a space to talk to them about the Lord, but you don't immediately have to break out into tongues.
yeah.
<you know. laughs> So, and I think it's very important that we remember where we came from. I think that we don't want to leave those behind and make it hard for those not to leave us behind. When we have a better life, then we got to help them have a better life.
Yep.
And we can't do that if we offend them. We can't do that if we do something that runs them away.
Amen. It's good.
So I feel like a really great way of having all three aspects is something I've seen a lot at Empower with working as a farm intern, then a student there, and working in the communities is serving communities together. We host two food distributions, one off of Bates Avenue and then one in Tavares, and, you know, it's such an opportunity to not only be with God in those moments, be with your family there, but then also be with people that don't know Christ, that haven't heard anything about Christ possibly or have walked away from the church. You have such a clump of people that need the gospel message. And so I feel like that's a really great way to really have all three aspects is serving the communities that you're around or that you want to reach.
That's great. Yeah, service projects are an excellent way of reaching out as a life group. That's a good point. Good. Awesome. Well, I want to encourage you guys to, if you're not a part of a life group, to see some of our life groups. They're on the back wall. They're on our website. Also, we have a new life group that isn't on the wall yet. We told you about last week. It's in the update as well. That is Emily and Obed's. It's called the Mamas and the Papas. Also, we're going to be having a new life group starting up in Paisley. I spoke to Tammy this morning about it. It's going to be news to Jim. Jim and I will talk about it on Tuesday morning. It's going to be at the Cameron's house. Surprise, Jim. So we'll be letting you know more about that next week. And then we're going to be starting a Foundations Life Group, the track at an existing life group starting September 20th. That's going to be at Kathy and Dana's life group. So those of you who have not been a part of Foundations, you'll be hearing more about that. It's going to be starting September 20th in their life group that's already existing. So lots of ways to join a life group. Also, if you would like to start your own, if there's an area where you live that doesn't have one and you don't want to drive. And also, we're going to be giving you information about Zoom if you'd rather not go out of your house. Turtle and I have been going to homes and helping them connect with Zoom, and we're continuing to do that. And we're also going to be sending out information. Robert's going to be helping me with that, sending out information to all of you that have been coming to know how to get on Zoom. So we're also going to have the availability of Zoom life groups. We're going to have a Zoom prayer meeting that's going to be starting up soon that Bev's going to be helping me with. So lots and lots of opportunities to connect with one another. And so we'll have no way or excuse for not connecting if you want to. So will you stand with me? We will pray and dismiss. Heavenly Father, we thank you for fulfilling our needs, Lord. Thank you for the mission of this church and for the vision that you've given us, Lord. Lord, thank you for fulfilling our needs of transcendence, of community, and of going out, Lord, of significance. God, we pray that we would experience you, experience your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would not miss your voice, that we would be in tune to you. Lord, in John 10, you promised that your sheep would hear your voice, Lord. And God, we want so desperately to hear you, God. And Lord, as we spend more and more time with you, Lord, we'll be able to distinguish it more. God, I pray that you would bless every single person here, every single person who's watching. God, that you would bless our endeavors. Lord, that we would hear you in the marketplace, Lord, that we would hear you the places that we go as we go, Lord, that you would use us, Lord, give us opportunities, Lord, opportunities to serve you, opportunities to experience you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Guys, have an awesome week. See you later.